Hey, what's up, everybody? This is episode number 31 of Hardwick Sound. My name is Caleb, and this is my family joining me here live in our studio, The Dump. Let's start with Noah. This is my big brother, Noah Hardwick, or as I like to call him, Sly Noggins.
What does that mean?
It means your noggins are sly. All right, moving on. This is Seth Hardwick, my baby brother.
I'm so glad I don't get a nickname.
Or, nope, he does want get one. As I call him, Tater Tot Pockets.
I'm going to ask the same question. No ask, what does that mean?
I don't know what that one means. And this is my mother, Ms. Carla Hardwick. How are you today, Ms.
Hello,
Carla?
I'm good.
I don't know if I have a nickname for you, so I'm just going to call you the anti-aunt woman.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect
anti-aunt
for me.
Anti-aunt woman?
I have been the anti-aunt woman
We've
all
had
week.
Aunt problems and bug problems. There are a lot of bugs out right now.
And don't
that?
Take this personal, Connie, sister of mine.
Not that kind of aunt.
No.
Not the anti-aunt Connie. No.
I remember we had to clarify that like on episode, you know, 2 or 4 or
right.
something. Do we need to clarify that again?
I don't think so. No.
I'm talking about the six-legged aunts.
Yes.
Yes.
We don't have any six-legged Aunt Connies.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. We'll call and ask Aunt Connie how many legs do you have, and we'll figure that out. Yeah. You remember that children's book called Ant Farm?
Yes, I do.
And it was a kid who collected ants.
Yeah,
and he had all sorts of ants, but they were actual like his parents' sisters.
Right.
Aunt. Yeah.
He had a whole collection of ants.
Okay. So there you go. Ding. Go look that up on Amazon. Check it out for yourself. Hey, so the thing about Tater Tot Pockets, interesting thing. On Wednesday night, one of my students just kind of out of nowhere goes, "Oh, I have a taco in my pocket." And sure enough, he reached down into his pocket, and he had a taco in his pocket.
How old is this student?
Almost 16.
Oh, I was thinking it was probably one of like the sixth graders or something.
No.
I thought you kind of outgrown taco in your pocket by the time you were 16.
No, not this one.
Because girls really don't care for taco in the pocket.
Is that true?
It's true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, this has been dating advice with the Hard Picks. Don't put tacos in your pockets. All right.
Not if you're trying for a girlfriend.
Okay. Hey, so I just got a random phone call on my phone. That's where you get calls. So I thought we should call them back and see who this person was and invite them onto the podcast.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. So here we go.
Do we have a marketing strategy?
Nope. We'll just say, "Hi, I'm Caleb and you're on Hardwick Podcast."
Hardwick Sound Podcast.
Yeah, Hardwick Sound. The likelihood is they're not going to pick up. So who knows? Let's just give it a try.
Let's see what happens.
Are we sure not? We don't want to tell them that we're returning their call.
Well, we might.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
The new number one hit music station. You're calling into the 2017 Summer
Daily
Promo Music Trivia Contest.
This is interesting.
This is your chance to win two free Bahamas cruise tickets for an all-inclusive cruise to Freeport, Grand Bahamas Island.
So is it just going to do this for like a long time?
To win. To play, you must be over the age of 18.
So we have to play their game?
What is going on?
Question one.
Okay.
Who is the artist best known for their love of the color purple? Press one for Stevie Nicks.
Prince.
Press two for Will Smith.
I think
press
we're going to stop this. But
press what? Three. Press three for Prince.
No, press the wrong one.
This
all right.
Is
correct.
Is this like a...
Let's move on to question
why,
two.
Why did I get a phone call from this?
What
I don't understand.
Wrote and performed the number one hit song, Beat It. Press 1 for Elton John.
Michael Jackson.
Press 2 for Michael Jackson.
Press 2.
Or press 3 for...
Is it going to like get the series of numbers where I put in a certain series of numbers that forces me to like give them money
that's
or
correct.
Something?
Correct. You're doing great.
We should give a wrong
here's
answer.
The last
it's going to tell you you won.
Get this right, and you're going to the Bahamas.
We get this right for going to the Bahamas.
Three. What artist was in the famous 90s boy band NSYNC? Press
Justin
1 for
Timberlake.
Justin Bieber. Press 2 for Kanye West. Or press 3 for Justin Timberlake.
Wait, should I do it?
We should push like the wrong one.
Yeah, so we lose.
What do you want? You want Bieber?
I don't want to go to the Bahamas. Bieber.
Wrong.
Yes.
Sorry, caller. That answer is wrong. We thank you for playing, but we've got nothing for you. Tune in again and try again another time. New number one hit music station. Okay.
What do we do now?
I guess they hang up on us, probably.
So what would have happened if we had selected Justin Timberlake?
Who was this?
I said
the number one hit station, but who was it?
I don't know. Okay, so
and why were they calling us?
Yeah, what kind of scam is this where you randomly call people and then have they play a game and you have to push three numbers? It would have been 323.
Let's Google this and see what Google says.
Okay, this is, I'm really kind of concerned.
This is kind of, we've had the strangest phone
calls
lately.
I just
want to
know, why did you call him back from your actual, you know, phone number?
Just cause.
Now your phone number is going to go out all across the interweb.
Probably.
Yeah.
And be a guy who answers the phone.
But Caleb never answers the phone, so they'll be disappointed.
we'll get him on the podcast.
Okay.
But why did we not select? We gotta got a trip to the Bahamas.
I'm looking this up on the Google. Give me a second.
I would have went to the Bahamas. Hey, did y'all hear about that fire festival in the Bahamas?
I read about that after you told me.
Isn't that interesting?
Say what?
The festival that they planned in one of the Bahama islands that basically fell apart and left all these people stranded on an island.
It was like a emergency FEMA type situation because all these people were going to this so-called music festival that had been horribly planned. Like nobody had planned for lodging and for food and for bathrooms and trash and all this normal stuff you would expect for a music festival. And so it was just a bunch of people with basically no organization stranded on an island.
I saw a picture of the food that they were serving there, and it was like a piece of bread with mayonnaise on it and an apple slice.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible.
That was the luxury meal for the people that had money to buy.
And their like luxury lodging was like emergency evacuation tent or something.
Yeah,
it was just a horrible. Look it up, Fire Festival, FY.
And the thing is, it ended up costing. I don't know what government paid for it, but somebody had to fly all these people back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on top of that, people were paying like $2,000 to go to this thing.
Yeah.
Someone
put
like
a
really
lot of money
scam.
In their pocket.
Yeah,
and
it really
away.
Does sound like a scam. Although, admittedly, it could have just be that people who organize music festivals aren't very good at logistics.
Maybe that was the prize for winning the contest.
It might have been.
We get a chance to go to the
Fire Festival. Snow, what are you finding out over there?
Well, it appears to be a scam.
Oh, really?
But I am still trying to find out what the end game of the scam is because everybody is like us and guessed wrong. Even though the questions were quite obvious and actually very identical to the ones they asked us.
Look, I don't know much about music, and I got all three of those
but
right.
I can tell you the name of the station was Power...
Is it just an ad for their station? Is that all it is?
No, because apparently it's a fake station. It's not real.
Oh, so they don't really
FM
play the number
Power?
One hits?
I don't know.
Okay. That's interesting.
I really don't understand this scam at all.
I'm still reading. Hold on.
We can call him back and ask him. No, okay. All right, so while Noah is doing that, I might as well just go ahead and ask, what y'all been doing? Yeah, what's new?
Calling Seth? Fake radio stations.
Yeah, doing that.
Well, I've kind of been alternating between being up to my knees in books, because we're fixing to have this book sale, and... doing marathon MASH watching, you know,
and doing both at the same time. Actually,
yeah, you can do both at the same time.
Our living room has been invaded by books and ants.
Books and ants and MASH programs,
and not the Aunt Connie ones.
Da, da,
no,
da, da, da,
because we
da,
only have
da,
we only
da,
have like you know
da,
three
da,
ants.
Da,
so.
Da, 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 da.
Ant one, ant two, ant three.
So real ants. The six-legged kind.
I did have something else I wanted to ask you guys, since you're all good at research and you can figure this out for me, but is there a name for fear parking decks?
I don't know, but I definitely have it.
I do too. And I realized that this morning when we went up to UAMS. I had to go up there and have some tests, and we pulled up into that parking deck, And suddenly I just had a cold sweat come over me and I started shaking. And
well, I have kind of a bit of a nervous driving habit anyway. And so it's really, it's like that times 10 because it's cramped.
Yeah.
And you, there's,
and it's dark.
It's dark and sometimes smelly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like the worst driving experience ever.
Why don't they paint them pretty colors and put flowers and bright lights?
Bright lights.
Why do they have to be dark and dingy and smelly? And I'm pretty sure there had to be at least, you know, a few hundred criminals hiding in corners.
Lurking in the corners.
Absolutely.
Just waiting for you. Yeah, I have to say. Now, why was that related to what we were talking about?
I don't know. It just came into my mind.
Okay, so I went and just did a really quick Google search, which sent me over to Yahoo Answers, and no one gave me an answer.
There's probably not a scientific term. We should probably coin it right here on the podcast.
Fear of parking decks. Let's see, what can we do for that?
What is a good Latin phrase for parking deck? there's got to be one. Yeah, okay. If you know what the Latin phrase for parking deck is, write to us at
Chad
P.O. Box. I don't know. Just check us out on the web, HardwickPodcast.com. Leave a comment on this episode or check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/HardwickPodcast. You know somebody who would know? Corey. Send Corey a text and ask him. Maybe he would know. Noah, what's the final conclusion?
I never found one.
It's a scam. No.
That's it's a scam, but what exactly? Some people were saying it was just to get your phone number, you know, to get you to pick up so that they could verify it was real. Or other people were saying that if you get all the questions, then it will direct you to their website to claim your prize. And who knows what happens after that?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a fairly sophisticated scam that they went to a lot of trouble to make this website and all of this look legitimate.
And you have to know extremely simple music trivia.
Right. I mean, I can't believe that they wouldn't want it. Even if you got it wrong, like, here's your...
here's a free code entered on our website for consolation prize.
Yeah, consolation prize. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently not, though. Okay. Well, that's been some of our exciting highlights of the day. Getting spam phone calls, going and having panic attacks in the
parking decks. Yeah.
Seth, you've pretty much been all day writing on your laptop.
I've pretty much had a panic attack all day.
It's almost final week.
Yeah, so I've spent all day writing a paper for my World Lit class, which is due... in about 24 hours of this recording.
Mm.
Well, I did my part to help you. I brought you a lemon cake.
That's right. You left the house for most of the day.
That helped.
You got that helped too.
Actually, I got more done while y'all were gone since y'all have been back.
What helped was that you brought me along and left Seth in here by himself.
Yes.
So I wasn't sitting here playing my guitar or something and distracting him.
On a plus note, though, to answer Tanya's question, no, I have not hit my word count yet, but I'm only 200 words away.
And hopefully by the time this podcast actually airs and hears that answer, you will have finished it 5 days ago. Okay.
Yes.
Noah, what you been doing? Anything exciting at work?
No.
No?
Did go to a movie last night?
Yeah. I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 last night.
But okay. You did it wear your I Am Groot shirt.
Yeah, well, I was kind of in a hurry to leave because I thought we were going to podcast last night, and then I waited around and then found out we weren't. So then as soon as I found out we weren't, I just kind of headed out the door without bothering to change because I had to get to Little Rock in 30 minutes.
I don't think anybody has been quite as confused by that shirt as Granny. She was like, I am Groot? I'm like, you sound just like him.
What's a Groot? That's what she said. What's a Groot?
I'm trying to think how we explained it to her. We said
it's a grumpy Groot.
We said it was a comic character, and that's all he said.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know why.
Surprisingly, I've gotten more comments on that shirt than I think any other shirt I've ever worn.
Well,
and it's just black text or white text on a black shirt. I mean, it's like, but yet everybody looks at it and says, what does your shirt say? What does your shirt say? And I'm starting to think, like, if I ever make a shirt that I want people to see, I'm just going to use big, bold white letters on a black shirt because it works.
It's kind of like I am second.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be funny if there was like parody videos of that where you like go through your whole life story and you get to the end and you go, I'm Caleb Hardwick and I am Groot. I don't know. Maybe that's not as funny as I think it is, but that would be fun. So yeah, the movie anyway. So you okay, out of a scale of 1 to 10 where 1 is a waste of money and 10 was my life has changed forever. Where are you?
5 or 6.
That's not bad. Wow.
That's higher than what
I was
expecting
you to say, something around like 3.
So you're saying it wasn't really a waste of your money, but it wasn't really life-changing either.
Yeah, it was just entertaining. I mean, that's what I would put it as.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
You know what? Entertainment that's entertaining,
which, I mean,
is actually
entertainment's
pretty good.
Kind of a waste of money, but I mean, it's a good waste of money,
okay.
If that makes sense. It's not like throwing your money away and having to, like, for torture or something, like Suicide Squad was. But
that, on the same scale, was much more towards the low end. I've never seen Suicide Squad, and I don't really plan to. So.
Well, don't, so.
Okay. So on Sunday, we watched a movie at our house called Hidden Figures.
Yes.
How would you, okay, if you had to compare those two films, how would you?
Noah's the other one.
Well, I thought
that.
Guardians of the Galaxy was more entertaining.
Okay.
But Hidden Figures probably has more value.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it had some semi-educational stuff to it.
I liked it.
Okay, Mama, tell us what you liked about Hidden Figures.
I liked it because it told a story.
Okay.
And I always like movies that tell a story, and there's so few of those.
Okay, I can agree with that. I guess the thing I felt was that the story, albeit interesting and surprising, wasn't especially complicated, complex. It was pretty straightforward. There are women working at NASA doing math.
And they saved the day.
It's almost a certain genre of film in its own right. It's not quite like a docudrama, but it's kind of in that same area.
It's an inspirational true story.
Right. I had the same feeling when I watched, what's the movie about the guy that was the runner in the Olympics? I just watched this one not long ago, but I can't think of the title of it. But, I mean, it was kind of interesting. I mean, again, just for some historical context and insight the movie gives you. But at the same time, it's not like an incredibly entertaining plot. Like, you know, I guess part of being history is that the plot's kind of already, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You knew that NASA was going to manage to somehow get that rocket off.
About Jesse, what's his name?
Owens,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like the plot for most of these kind of civil rights types films are, hey, look, here's somebody who is oppressed, and look, they're going to overcome it.
Yeah, the movie's called Race.
Which is a great story.
It is called Race. I forgot
that. Wow,
creative. That's a great story. That's our American history. But it's kind of like, okay, maybe you need to add a little something extra to that just to make it.
But if you do, then you're kind of like getting away from, you're making it less historical and less accurate.
Well,
so
I hate to tell you the truth, but usually history is not as exciting as fiction.
Right.
Well, part of watching this sort of a movie is, you weren't alive back then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you place yourself in somewhere that you weren't. It's almost the fantasy thing of you put yourself in a place that you weren't there. Whether it's to go back and relive the Revolutionary War, you know, or the Civil Rights Movement or whatever. Just for an hour or two. Just so you kind of feel a little bit of what those people felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to Guardians of the Galaxy, which is
I'm not sure.
Entertainment?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Right. Okay, well, there you go, everybody. That's our 2 cents on the purpose of films.
Segway.
Seth, is there something that you've been wanting to talk about for a long time?
Why, yes. Yes, there is, Kent.
I'm not Kent.
Oh, I'm Caleb. So, I was on Facebook, and you should probably not click on things in your feed that's
no,
on Facebook.
You shouldn't. Never click on anything, ever.
Yeah, you can use that for your sound
it's
advice.
It's all clickbait
later.
These days anyway.
Yeah. However, this one was...
Well, except our podcast. You should click on that.
Okay, fine.
You have permission to click on our podcast, folks.
So, anyway, this story was actually seemed kind of interesting. And so I went and looked it up, and it is the stray shopping cart, an illustrated system of identification.
What?
Yes, it is a real book, okay? And so basically what it is, it you know, like your common, your bird book that helps you identify birds.
It's a field guide.
It's a field guide for identifying stray shopping carts of North America.
Okay.
Oh, like if they got off of their parking lot,
uh-huh,
and you got to figure out what store they go back to, whether they're a Walmart shopping cart or a...
Not exactly. It classifies them as what kind of stray they are.
So it's sort of like a modern day version of an American Tale, you know, where you have the little shopping cart that gets lost and they have to find their mother and they're immigrants, so everything's kind of new and weird. But eventually, a furry friend helps you find your family.
I was thinking more like it was a golden guide for homeless people, but
that's what I was going to say. I really like golden guides, those field guides. Could you get me this to add to my collection of field guides?
Okay, so maybe, or you can just use the whole one that's online. Because I'm looking at the whole entire thing right now.
It comes in ebook.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You can pay like $13 for it, or you can just use this. But it's has shopping carts identified in two separate categories. You either have a Class A, which is considered false strays. They're not really strays. They're just lost for the moment. And then you have true strays.
How do we tell the difference between a false stray and a true stray?
Well, I'm glad you asked. A false stray is a shopping cart that, while on the source lot, which is the business parking lot, is diverted from its primary function, damaged, or otherwise rendered useless.
So it's the shopping cart that's in the corner of Kroger that got ran over by the 18-wheeler that went through the parking lot.
Yes.
Okay. I got that.
That poor shopping cart.
I know.
True strays are entirely removed from the business parking lot.
Those are the ones that you find down along the river where somebody borrowed it to carry their homeless stuff down to the river, to their campsite.
And yeah, and there's 11 types of Class A, and there are a whopping 22 types for Class B.
Wow.
Wow. The Great North American White-Tailed Shopping Cart. The Western Orthodox.
You know what my favorite
shopping carts?
You know what my favorite shopping carts are?
What? The ones full of free stuff.
Well, that would be good, but no. It's the double deckers. The ones that have smaller carts, but there's two of them, one on the bottom and one on the top.
Oh.
It doesn't list that one.
Really?
No, because it doesn't list kinds of shopping carts as much as it how to identify them as a shopping cart.
Okay.
I'm just kind of disappointed with this guide so far.
Yeah.
Not to mention when you read me the title, I was really expecting it to be about like shopping carts, like the internet shopping carts gone rogue. Like,
oh,
you know, the kind that are, that are like trying to scam you out of your credit card. But
this is much more interesting.
Yeah, maybe so.
All right, so what are some of the ways you can differentiate between different types of shopping carts?
So Class B, so this is a true stray, type 22, is a wheel lock stray.
Okay.
Is that the kind that the wheels lock up when you take it outside of the source area?
Yes.
Oh.
Pretty simple.
We don't really have a lot of those around here in this part of town.
We're not that fancy.
Yeah.
We're not fancy enough to have stray shopping carts.
We don't have a lot of people stealing them, so we're not that fancy.
Well, we don't have the wheel lock. We don't have that technology.
I'm really surprised we don't have a shopping cart like at Midtown for some reason. Just some random reason.
We probably do somewhere.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
A good one is Class B, number 19, is a shopping cart in Refuge.
Okay, I don't think I understand that one.
It's a shopping cart that's in a dumpster.
Why is it in a dumpster?
I don't know.
Because it was fleeing. It's
we're going to write our own book that's more useful than this one.
It was fleeing the terroristic regimes among the other shopping carts.
You know, now that you mention Midtown, it makes me want to call Chad and ask him if he's ever seen a shopping cart at Midtown. I mean, he would know.
Why do we keep mentioning Chad?
Because he's the only one that actually listens to our episode.
Okay.
So I just assume.
I was thinking about it, and last week we might have made a mistake with Chad because, you know, we got him to admit his birth date, his birthplace, and his middle name.
Did you get his social security number?
And his shoe size for what it's worth, but I don't really care. He sent us a picture on Twitter of those shoes, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did.
Well, why didn't you share this
with
him?
We should go and just sign him up for a bunch of stuff now that we have all his information.
I have his email address, but it's not on the air.
Yeah. Well, we got almost everything we need to steal his identity.
I got an idea. Why don't we call back that radio station?
Enter all chat
and enter him
the website.
In the competition. We'll answer the questions right and then just impersonate him and enter him in the competition.
Okay. Sorry, Chad.
Once you're on the show, you're forever made fun of on the show. Like Corey.
Okay. Moving on. I'm pretty sure there used to be a shopping cart at Midtown in that little space between the buildings.
I'm pretty sure we don't have one. Because if we did, it would have been used by a junior high boy for something mischievous a long time ago. It does seem like somewhere a homeless guy would just be living, though. Hey.
Okay.
Moving on. I'm the hobo who lives between the buildings of church.
Type 10 is plow crush. A shopping cart that's been hit by a snow plow.
Well, we don't have
no,
those.
No, we don't have those. That's a northern sort of thing. Find
unless
one
they migrate.
Southern.
Sometimes they migrate south.
I think we could write a better shopping cart guide than this.
I think we should just write a whole story about a shopping cart.
Okay, this one is a shopping cart that's being used as business property other than its primary function. So it's the one that's in the resale shop that's full of clothes or books or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of those. The thrift shops are around.
It's going to be like the next big Pixar film.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Caleb. I think this sounds like the making of a Pixar film. We can call it Buggies.
Buggies. Seriously. Hey, Pixar, we thought of it. You give us credit and a few million bucks, okay?
A buggy story.
A buggy's life.
A buggy's life.
There you go.
Well, we have a podcast title now.
Okay.
Basically, be the same plot as Finding Nemo, I suppose.
Yeah. I think it'd be more about like a homeless shopping cart.
I'll give you a couple more.
All right,
shopping cart
more.
That run away from home.
Class A. So this is a false stray. So it's still on the property. Type 2 is a plaza drift, meaning it's one that has just blown across the parking lot, is now on the other side of the parking lot.
Has it crashed into anyone's car? Is there a category for that? Because those are the shopping carts that I see that being rogue are the ones that go flying across the parking lot, smash a dent in the side of somebody's car.
I don't see one.
Oh, goodness. This is not a good field guide.
I know. Type 3, though, is a bus stop discard, where they take it from the store to the bus stop, and then they discard it.
Okay. The store should just put a little buggy bin at the bus stop. It makes sense to me.
Okay. I'm just going to say this. The categories are pretty stinky, but the pictures are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
To see a picture of a buggy that's been crushed
by
a snowplow.
So what could someone Google to find pictures of crushed buggy snowplow? Straight.
Well, it would be pretty easy. Just type in Stray Shopping Carts of North America.
Stray Shopping Carts of North America. Go check it out and find out everything you've ever wanted to know. Well, actually, probably not. Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, you probably haven't wanted to know that
everything
much.
You didn't want to know.
Everything you didn't hardly ever want to know, but not everything because it's not very...
You didn't know you wanted to know.
Okay. And be looking for the Hardwick's Field Guide to North American Shopping Carts.
Coming and
to
Pixar
a
film.
Bookstore near you. And what'd you say?
And Pixar film.
And the Pixar film. The Hardwick franchise of shopping cart stuff with merchandise coming soon. Little plush shopping carts that you can sleep with.
I'm buggy.
Or in. or under.
Or in or under. And shopping cart t-shirts and make shopping carts great again. Trucker hats. Just a little bit of everything, okay? We'll have that up on the website real soon.
Yeah, and you can put it in your shopping cart.
Yes, on our website.
Okay. We now need to add a shopping cart to our website.
All right, we digress. Let's take a quick break and hear a word from this week's sponsor.
Daddy, where are we going?
Well, Freddie, we're helping this homeless man get his things to the bus stop.
But why, Daddy?
It's just what nice shopping carts do. Coming this summer.
Freddy! Watch out for that snowplow!
The epic tale.
Where am I?
Of a little shopping cart who never gave up hope.
I'm more than a stray little buggy.
From the creators of Touchdown by an Angel.
And I'm gonna find my way back to the grocery store.
Buggies. This film is not yet rated.
I have one thing I wanted to mention real fast because I felt it was somewhat relevant to some other stuff we've talked about on the podcast in the past.
You're going
to
call somebody?
Nope. Did you know that Crayola is unveiling a new brilliant blue color to replace Dandelion?
Oh,
poor Dandelion. Poor
Dandelion. I like Dandelion. It was such a pretty color. Dandelion, it's between yellow and orange.
I never thought it was a very good name, though. Dandelion seems like it should be more yellow.
But here's the interesting thing. I'll read this straight from Fox News. Okay, which I should just mention, when it comes to news, you do like I do and download both Fox News and CNN on your phone and then let them fight back and forth with news updates during the day. It's kind of fun to watch. Okay, but this was not, oddly enough, this I don't think I got a notification in for this one, but I should have. After years cheerfully sitting among its colorful cohorts, Crayola's Dandelion Crayon has been replaced by a brilliant blue color that was discovered by Oregon State University scientists.
How do you discover a color accidentally?
Interesting question. According to USA Today, Maz Subramanian, I'm sure I pronounced that correct, an Oregon State University chemist discovered the color with his then grad student Andrew E. Smith. In 2009, the two were heating up various chemicals in hopes of finding new materials that could be used in electronics. The bright blue shade appeared when Smith removed a mix of compounds from the lab's furnace.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is this a real color, or were they just tripping out from the fumes from their chemist vials? I'm not sure if it's
what
a real
was
color.
It in a related, color again.
In a related story, the two scientists have also bottled a new type of illegal drug that makes you hallucinate. No. The name of this, the name of the color?
Yes.
Interesting that you should bring that up. Currently, the blue shade is known to the scientists as YINMN, a nickname derived from the chemical elements that create it, yttrium, indium, manganese, and oxygen.
Y-I-N.
No. Or, yeah, Y-I-N-M-N. Or it might be Y-L-N-M-N. Because, you know, in this font, which I guess is just like Arial, I
yeah, you can't tell the
L's
I's and the L's apart.
Look
it's annoying.
The same.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the chemical yttrium? Yttrium?
I have no idea.
I don't know what that is, but it's apparently in this Crayola. So everybody go buy yourself a box of Crayola crayons and get this new blue color made from yttrium.
I think I'm going to wait and see if they have a recall on it first.
After the it's scientists found that after coloring with this crayon, you get strange hallucinations.
You know, it causes cancer.
You see a lot more colors.
Whoa, we've been in a whole new color, man. Seth, did you look something up?
What did I look up?
Were you Googling something?
Well, I was just looking up to see what color it was.
Well, if it's a new color, blue. Then would our monitors be able to display
it's blue.
It?
I don't understand what makes it any different from any other blue color.
I don't know either. But it's apparently brand new and science-y. And on top of that, Crayola is allowing a competition to see who can think of the next name for this crayon.
Well, I'm not sure it was worth giving up dandelion.
Crayon blue.
Really? I'm going to go get my dandelion and hug it.
Yeah, we'll keep it. It's probably a collector's item now.
It probably
is.
Yeah,
we can sell them on eBay in like 20 years.
Anyway, so that was my announcement on Crayola. I thought y'all deserved to know, especially you, Mama.
Thank you for letting me know that.
That leads us into our final segment of the show, Sound Advice. I'm going to start off by saying, if you're ever on our podcast, be careful about how much information you were willing to give us.
Or think twice before coming on our podcast.
Or just maybe you should be very careful about being on our podcast. Or just don't give away your private information.
On a podcast.
On a podcast. All right, that was my advice.
Now, Rob's phone number is...
The 909-30. Okay. Seth or Noah or Mama, do any of you have any words of wisdom for our listeners before we wrap it up?
Well, I went to the Rave movie theater, and it's the first time I've been since they started assigning seats where you pick your seat. So my advice now is if you're going there, you should probably get your seat before you go so that you can get good seats.
So how do you choose how does it assign seats is what I'm asking.
I think you can just do it from their website. When you order tickets, it'll give you like all the available
seats.
So
it's like when you do a sporting venue, you kind of pick what section.
Right. Which I wasn't entirely sure how to count off the seats. Like all the rows are numbered, like in the floor. Like they got big letters like row A, B, C. But the seats themselves aren't numbered. So I'm not really sure which direction to start counting from. So I'm not really sure if I was in the right seat or
not. So let's just say you and your buddy agree, hey, let's go see a movie. And you both go and buy tickets. How do you possibly figure out where you are going to sit together? Or do you care because it's a movie?
Right, yeah. I guess you could both show up, but then that kind of nulls my advice. So I guess you could like coordinate, like I'm going to get seat 10B and he's going to get seat 9B or something.
I don't know. That seems complicated.
So, it does.
Or just trade seats with somebody.
Or continue going to Benton where they haven't started this yet, but probably will.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned you didn't have a very good seat. Where in the theater were you sitting?
Not on the front row, but close enough to the front that I had to look back like this.
No one could see what you did with your
But I was hoping like the audio effect might work.
You probably can use your mind and figure out what Noah was doing.
He was looking to his left.
I was looking down.
He was standing on his head.
He was covering his eyes.
I will say the reclining seats are kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. I bet they are.
Like, put your feet up and everything.
You take your shoes off and kick your legs up.
It certainly helped because at least you kind of tilt back.
Bring your covers. Yeah, it's probably nice.
Do they have more than one cup holder in the armrest? Or not in... Okay, is there more than one armrest per chair now?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Because that'd be awful to still have to share an armrest.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. That's Noah's advice. Seth, Mama, who's next?
Well, my advice is if you have a fear of parking decks, be sure that you get your parking ticket validated immediately.
You're stuck forever.
Or you're going to be in that parking deck forever.
Yeah.
Is there a story?
No.
No, we did good. Caleb he pulled out the thing and got it validated, and we were able to escape quickly from the parking deck.
Just before the building collapsed. No.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. That lady that was standing there when we were leaving, she looked pretty evil to me.
Did she?
Oh, yeah.
She just looked like a normal lady talking on the phone to me.
I don't know. She looked evil to me.
Well, everybody... Okay, let's just say this. Everybody in a parking deck looks evil.
It's true.
Like, when you walk in, you just get cloaked with a shadow of darkness that makes you look evil. Seth, do you have anything at all that our listeners can use to make their lives just a little bit better?
Probably not. Just being honest,
yeah.
There's probably nothing that makes them better. However, with that said, this is where I always mess up.
When you're writing a paper, be sure to take the time and
drink water.
Drink water. There you go, folks. Drink water. Any other super tips for...
I mean, that's pretty sound. Drink water.
Paper.
I think we should end with that one. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
All right,
it's right up there with Don't Be Stupid as far as being a...
Yep. So you know how this ends.
Okay, wait. I have one. Before you buy a book, look to see if you can get a free copy.
From where?
I don't know, the internet.
Who's giving away free books?
Well, I don't know.
Except
pirates.
Shopping cart guides.
This one here, I don't know. It's just like on some website. It's got like every page scanned.
So it's not legal, but...
Probably not, but...
Yeah.
You know, okay. I'm not actually going
to... So your sound advice is to drink water and pirate textbooks.
You know,
I could get behind half of that.
I won't say which half.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, before we leave, I just wanted to mention one last thing. Say it with me.
Arclug will be at CalsCon and on the, what does it mean, the 19th or the 20th? I'm not sure which one's the Saturday.
Stay safe and don't be stupid.
It's the 19th.
19th. Okay. Yes, 19th.
Stay safe. Don't be stupid. Drink water.
What he said.
Avoid parking decks.
Avoid parking decks. Go to Arclug meetings.
And shows.
And shows. Anything you want to plug, Noah? You want to plug food? Seth plugged water.
Bye, guys. I'm going to get ice.
See you later,
ice,
everybody.
Yes. I want to plug ice.
Cream?
Plug ice. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Go online. Check us out at HardwickPodcast.com, Facebook.com/HardwickPodcast. Leave us a review on iTunes or whatever you're supposed to do to podcasts. I don't know. I've never left a review before.
Do we have any reviews?
No. Yes. Hey, if you want to be our very first reviewer, go to iTunes. Leave us a review. It's now there's a link on the website page. When you go to the episode, it leaves as a button that says leave a review, and you can do that on iTunes. So do that. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Stay safe.
Don't be stupid.
And drink water.
And ice.
Bye, everybody.